hearts are split and saints are called away. Most of all, I want to be among that number, the bride of Christ set apart in white array. Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praise when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear Him say, well done.
Everything down here will dim and lose its value when compared with all the glory we'll behold. But most of all, just to look upon the Savior will make it heaven if there were no streets of gold.
Would make it heaven. Would make it heaven if there were no streets of gold. Oh, what a blessed Savior. What a joy. Oh, what a joy today to bring you the broadcast. Last week was a disaster as far as broadcasting, telecasting, equipment problems, but here we are, and we're going to have a great broadcast today. Now, church, let me tell you, all of you out across the radio audience, I'm here with a joy to bring you this broadcast. And I'm here to tell you that there are some issues that we need to discuss that are just plain overwhelming. I don't know whether you understand just how overwhelming they are, but they are literally overwhelming. They are literally overwhelming. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what came from our White House this week. Now, I have a subject at hand that I want to talk about, but I'm going to kind of divide myself up today. Doesn't usually work very good, but I'll do it today because I feel the necessity of that. I want to make sure I got you the right volume. I guess we're right. Somebody let me know if we don't. But we're talking about the Lord's commandment, the Lord's day, and the fourth commandment. The Lord's day. And the fourth commandment. I'm going to remember reading the book of Revelation and St. John, the great writer of Revelation, who wrote the book also of St. John. This great John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Where are you going to be tomorrow on the Lord's day? You're going to be at Walmart? You're going to be somewhere, having a party? Are you going to be in the house of the Lord? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, that's where I want to be, and that's a great subject to talk about. But then we got to talk a little bit about the president of this United States and the decision he has made and the effort he is making to make Iran his partner in the Middle East. Now, you know, and I know, it's insanity. How do you call it anything but insanity? Is there any way to look at it any way but say it's insanity? I mean, I don't know any other way. On a plane yesterday, I was coming back from right on the Gulf Coast, preaching down in Alabama for several nights. Got home kind of late yesterday. I may would have changed the subject today, but I really didn't have time to get all of the P's and Q's together. So I'm bringing you a twin program, but I can tell you it'll be exciting. But the Holy Spirit gave me a prophecy yesterday, and I want to start the program, and I want to read that prophecy, if you will let him. I mean, it was from the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And so let me read what the Holy Ghost said to me. Can I do that? Let me read what the Holy Ghost said to me, okay? I want so much that you might have what God is sending us and God has given us, and it's wonderful. It's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. Let me read it to you. Very important. The prophetic plan of our Heavenly Father places the Jews in Jerusalem, ready to welcome the Messiah, the returning Christ. Obama thinks that he can replace the Jews with Iran. He is woefully ignorant and playing with fire. There has been many Jewish haters in their history, but God always had an Esther. Mordecai said to Esther, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" She stood at ready. She acted bravely. Obama has done many dark deeds and thinks he can survive this last one. Hold your breath and keep your faith strong. You are in for a rough ride with a hallelujah landing. You are in for a rough ride with a hallelujah landing. Now, the Holy Spirit poured those words into my heart. The Bible calls it prophetic words given to me by the Spirit for you to be encouraged and for you to know that you can rest in the Lord. Do you hear me? You can rest in the Lord because the Lord is not going to fail you. The Lord is not going to let you down. You can depend upon Him. You can literally and utterly depend upon Him. Now, the broadcast today about the Lord's Day is extremely important. I mean, I couldn't think of anything that is more important to deal with than the Lord's Day and how important it is for you to keep the Lord's Day, but also our nation. I mean, we are in jeopardy as a nation. The whole prophetic plan of my Father is being attacked with ferocity and with fury. I mean, the devil is determined to interrupt what God has planned in this Bible. God is the one who planned that the Jews would be back in their homeland and would be back in Jerusalem and would be there to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns at the end of the seven-year tribulation period with his saints, with the bride of Christ. God planned that, and the Bible is full of that, and Obama cannot interrupt God's plan. Now, it may appear that he's put God's plan in jeopardy, and there are many other forces. The effort to have a one-world order under the United Nations or under the Catholic Church or under the Islamic religion. I mean, all of those are efforts to preempt God, to do only what God can do and what this Bible has promised God can do. And so the whole idea is there are many jeopardies arising everywhere that would tend to put God's prophetic plan in bad condition. There really are. But I'm here to tell you, it will be okay. It will be okay. You know, God is a good God, a big God, a wonderful God, and He never fails. He really never, never fails. And you can trust Him. You can depend upon Him. Now, I hope everybody out there gets this broadcast and takes your time. Turn your other things off. Turn your television off. Get your internet or your radio. And let's talk about what's going to happen concerning Obama and his effort in Iran. And the greatest thing you can do as a born-again believer is get back to keeping the Lord's Day holy. Get back to keeping the Lord's Day holy. Now, I got so much on that subject that would easily consume this whole hour and without a spare moment. But you need to understand, the early church kept the Lord's Day the first day of the week. I mean, absolutely, they kept the Lord's Day. And you can prove over and over that the early church's business was always on the Lord's Day. The first time the disciples met with Christ, or Christ met with them after the resurrection, was that same day, which was the first day of the week. And then 8 days later, on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week again, He met with them. In the New Testament, they're told to bring their offerings and their gifts together on the first day of the week. Over and over in the book of Acts, it is evident that the Lord's Day was indeed the first day of the week. Now, people will say, no, the Catholic Church started that. That is not true. That is not true. This early church started it because it was God's plan from the beginning. And this article is available, by the way, to help you understand that the Lord does have a day. And it's not the Jewish covenant. It is our covenant with the risen Christ. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out on the first day of the week. The Lord Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. Don't you think if the Lord meant for us to keep keeping the Jewish Sabbath, that he would have been resurrected on the Saturday, the seventh day, instead of on Sunday, the first day? Don't you think it would have occurred on the Jewish Sabbath? I mean, I love the Jews keeping their Sabbath day. I believe in it. But we Christians have a Lord's Day, and we keep it. And I love it. And it's biblical. It's absolutely biblical. Don't let these Seventh-day Adventists put you under bondage. You just love God and love him, his kingdom, and do his will on the first day of the week, the Sunday, the day we love him and worship him. And start keeping your Sunday holy. I mean, it's the seventh day, though it, you know, in the Jewish think mind is the eighth, but in our mind it's our seventh day. I mean, from Monday to Sunday is 7 days. It's our seventh day. It's our Sabbath. That's what Sabbath means, the seventh day. And I tell you, it's a joy to keep the Lord's day holy. Would you believe? I've been keeping his day holy for 63 years. Now, I won't tell you, there wasn't a period of time that I kind of followed the system of the world, and I would go out to eat on Sunday, never go shopping, never mow my yard, never do any of those things, but I would go out to eat, and I could never forget the day he spoke to me to quit that and to start keeping the Lord's day a very set-apart day for his glory and his kingdom. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you what happened to me, and I love it. I love keeping the Lord's day holy. It's never been a bondage. I don't do it in some kind of legalistic way. I do it as a joy unto the Lord, as a thrill unto the Lord. And there are many scriptures. Now, let's open the lines. I'm going to give you a sermon today that I preached down in Alabama, entitled "The Laodicean Church Left Behind." The Laodicean Church Left Behind. Behind the Laodicean church, that lukewarm crowd is going to be spewed out of his mouth. They're going to be spewed out of his mouth. They're going to be left behind. So I'm talking to you Laodicean believers out there. You need this sermon. I'm giving it to you, a CD, giving it to you. I mean, it's yours free. All you got to do is grab your phone and call our folks who are answering the phone. Today we have one lady, my wife, my sweetheart, and then a gentleman, a precious man who's intimately involved in this church, and his ministry is jail ministry, prison ministry, helping people from the homeless shelter. He is giving himself. I am thrilled with his devotion to these kind of people. Our churches need people who care about the people who are out there homeless, helpless, fatherless, motherless, husband without a husband, without a wife, you know, just anybody, senior adult. People need our love today, and this is a church that does our best to love everybody. Everybody. We hope you'll visit us. But now you can call to get the free gift. The number to call, the local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And our toll-free number across America and Canada is 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now I will send anybody who calls today a copy of the prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave me. Now, I've never put great emphasis on this. I've done it a few times through the years as God has spoken to my heart, and I am with joy, making that available to you today. I want to bless you. I want to help you grow in the Lord and the things of God. They are a mighty burden on my heart. Now, open the lines to today's broadcast so I can hear from you. I open the internet. Internet is JRC. That's JRC, Joseph Robert Chambers, at paulcreek.org. paulcreek.org. I welcome all the people who've been reading our material on Facebook. We've really created a wonderful, wonderful ministry on Facebook. We're somewhere close to 3,000 already, and many that I haven't had the time to go through and see if I could accept them as friends, probably something like another 1,000. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. So if you're a new friend and you're listening because of us reading our material on Facebook, that prophecy, by the way, was on Facebook. So if you have a Facebook record or a Facebook account, I hope you'll ask me to make you my friend. And you may need to email me, because I'm having so many I can't accept everybody. I'm trying my best to pick and choose, asking the Lord to help me, because I don't want to eliminate nobody that should be, but I only have, you only have room for so many. So let me hear from you. I'll do my best to be a blessing to you. We also are on Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, and of course internet, and of course radio, and of course the printed page. We're just here to get the news out. We have some 35,000 on our email list, and you can be on that list if you'll simply email me or go to the internet and sign up yourself. That would be better for me, okay? All right, grab your phone, call us. We're here to help you. Have some calls awaiting. I want so much to be a blessing. I want so much. I want so much to get you really hungry to keep the Lord's day holy. And I want to answer your questions about what do you think about this Obama situation? I mean, Brandon Aran, did you see the article that he's talking to them about giving them $130 billion? $130 billion of our money? Oh, that just upsets me so bad. I saw a note where that's $1,300 per American citizen. $1,300 per American system. Now, a citizen. If you don't take a stand against this, you're not worth your salt. Do you listen to me? I don't care whether you're black or white or red or whatever. This is not a racial thing. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the Bible and the truth of God and the prophetic picture of the future. I mean, when you take Israel out of the picture and you put Iran in instead of them, you're violating God's word, and you're really playing with fire. You're playing with fire. I am of the opinion that Obama's future is very short. I think he has blasphemed the things of God and the truth of the Bible until God has no choice but to act. If God doesn't act in stopping Barack Obama, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. If God doesn't stop the mayor of this city and their effort to make this city a homosexual city and a transvestite city, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just how bad it is. And God is not going to have to apologize. God is going to act. Are you hearing me? I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't want nothing to be the act of some crazy gunman. I don't want nothing to be the act of some crazy person, black or white or whatever. I want God to do it. I want Himself, God the Father, to stop this insanity. To stop this insanity. And we'll be praying at 9:45. Okay? The lines are open. Let's have your calls. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And our local number, 704-391-0588. Again, the 800 number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local, 704-391-0588. And the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, waiting on your call. Grab your phone, okay? Grab your phone. Very, very important. All right, here's one from up in New York. I pray that today's broadcast will be a blessing. I've been listening and will call if prompted to do so. Thank you for your kind note, which I received this week. It crossed my letter in the mail to you. You asked for my phone number. Here it is. Now, listen, I won't give out to anybody now. Here's a dear man up in New York who loves this radio program. Gary, God bless your heart. You know, we're just growing. I've been down in Alabama all week from Monday afternoon until yesterday afternoon. I got home preaching at a wonderful little church in Forley, Foley, I think I pronounced that right, Foley, Alabama. That's halfway, somewhere like halfway between Pensacola and Mobile. And so if you need a church down there, now I tell you right now, Brother Eddie Sullivan will be a good pastor to you. I was impressed with his devotion and dedication. Just a precious man. Now, a lot of ministers in the area that I met, some were Assembly of God, some were independent, some were Church of God. It was a joy of all I met, and may God's blessings be on you, folks. I sure hope you are listening. We want to be a blessing to you. We really do. Now, would you please call us? I want to hear from you. Want to hear from you. Almost done. Well, I'm not almost done. That sounds like the enemy talking, don't it? I don't agree with that at all. I'm not almost done. I'm in the middle of what God's doing in my life, and I love it with all my heart, and I'm not almost done. I don't know that was meant for the broadcast. I really don't. It just was there, and I read it thinking it was for me today. Hey, call me quickly. Grab your phone. I want to hear you. What is your question about keeping the Lord's Day holy? How many out there really keep the Lord's Day holy? You know why your church can't have church on Sunday night? Because the members of that church are not keeping the Lord's Day holy. You listen to me now. Your church cannot have Sunday night church because your people aren't keeping the Lord's Day holy. It is not 1 hour on Sunday morning that you keep holy, or maybe two, or maybe three if you drive a little ways. It's 24 hours that belongs to the Lord, and to you to rest your body and to worship your mind, and worship His hand with your mind, and to give yourself utterly to come apart and let God refresh you, and let God build a new faith in you. Be in the house of God tomorrow, friend. Don't you let nothing keep you out. Don't you let a little headache, you sneeze three times and miss church 4 weeks. Come on now. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The Bible makes that plain. Let me read you something. Boy, do I love this. This has been part of my life way, way back, and I love it. I love God's Word. Well, let me find it here. I had it marked. Psalms 92, verse 13. Listen to this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. And that's a promise concerning the future. If we now are planted in the house of God, we will then be planted in the great city of New Jerusalem, and will literally flourish in the courts of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, I'm dedicating my life for that end result. I'm not living for some picnic today and some big check tomorrow. I'm not living for things of the world and things of the flesh. My wife and I have a beautiful home. We built it ourselves. It's paid for. We're grateful to God for it. It's always needs some repairs, which I usually don't have time to do. But we're happy. We don't take a salary. They give me a little expense money for my car and my home and those things. We just are blessed. We just want to bless you. We want to bless the kingdom. Hey, grab your phone now. Don't let me have to go any further. Let me hear from you. Let me help you with your question and your interest. Okay, grab your phone. My wife and our dear man Alan is standing by. We're here to be a blessing to you. You are important to us, and you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Good morning, Pastor Chambers.
Hey there.
How you doing? I wanted to say to the public that I was not keeping the Sunday, the seventh day holy. I mean, I've been walking with the Lord 17 years, so I'm in the joy of my salvation. But on Sundays, I would go, say, out to dinner or even a ball game until you talked about it. Oh, it's been, that was maybe a year ago. And ever since then, I'm more careful, that I stay in the Lord. And so I've been invited out to a ball game, and I said, no, I can't do it today. So I do want to thank you for reminding us to focus on that. And we certainly need it in today's with the issues that are going on.
The world is determined to make Sunday nothing but a play day. They're determined to make it shopping and playing and going off here and going off there. And the ball world has done that. I remember meeting one of the key players at one of the great teams at a store one day. And I got acquainted with him. Great old big guy. He was precious. I mean precious. And I said, how do you feel having to play ball on Sunday? He said, I hate it. He said, my mama taught me not to do that. My mama taught me not to do that. I remember, George, going to a visit in my community, and I knock on the door of Presbyterians or Baptists or Methodists, and I would keep kind of a little record of it, and I would go in, and I was looking for older people. This was about 20 years ago. I was looking for people who were in the 60s or the 70s. Now they're, of course, mostly with the Lord. And I would say to them, do you remember when your church, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever, kept the Lord's Day? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We always kept the Lord's Day holy. We were taught to keep it holy. Do you know, George, this is the first generation in 2,000 years of church history. The first generation in 2,000 years of church history that does not emphasize keeping the Lord's Day holy.
That right? Wow.
Dwight Moody. You remember the name Dwight L. Moody?
Yeah, I
have a book by him, and he wrote an article on each of the Ten Commandments. And you know what he did on the Sabbath day? If he had an invitation to go preach on the Sabbath day, he would not rent a carriage. He would walk, because he was not going to be part of paying somebody for working on Sunday.
Yeah. And the other thing, yeah. And so it's just a blessing that you brought that up, and I just want to thank you for it.
Has it made your life sweeter?
Okay.
Has it made your life sweeter? I'm asking you a question. Has it made your life richer and sweeter to keep the Lord's Day holy?
I don't accentuate on one thing. I just do what I'm supposed to do. But I want to repeat what you said earlier this morning. It's not a legalistic thing.
You
know, do it. You're looking to be walking closer to the Lord, and it's easy if you make up your mind to it.
I love you, brother. Thank you for your call, okay?
Bye.
Bless your heart. And call us quickly. I want to hear your opinion. Hey, if you disagree, I'm not going to hurt your feelings. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Man, I've been disagreed with on this broadcast. See, I've been doing radio like this for over 40 years. This one program is over 40 years old. And it has kind of evolved, you know, from just radio to internet, from just audio now to video. And now it's internet, video, radio. I mean, and it's going all over the world. And it's blessing people all the way in Australia. Hey, call me from Australia today. I want to hear from you. Call me from New Zealand. Today, I want to hear from you. Call me from the Ukraine. I know that cost you a little money. I don't have a toll free for that. But grab your phone and call me. I don't know what your numbers are to get out of your country. I could never know all of them. Wouldn't try. But I know when you get into America, it's 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And I'd love to hear from you, whatever country, wherever you live. And if I am blessing you, I am being blessed in the process. Because my joy is to bless you. My joy is to bless you. You are important to me. You're extremely important to me. And may the blessings of the Lord be upon you. Call us quickly. I want to talk to somebody about what Obama is doing concerning Iran. I really want to have somebody's opinion of that beside mine. His interrupting of prophetic plans. I mean, literally standing between God and what God has said is going to happen in this last hour where we live. If you understand that, brother, it can be scary. Scary not for you, but for him. I say in this prophecy that our ride may be rough for the next short period of time, weeks, months, years, I don't know. But I tell you one thing, we're going to have a hallelujah landing. I thank the Holy Ghost for saying that to me. We're going to have a hallelujah landing, and I can hardly wait. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I just want to call and say I thank you for that person words. And it's really good to really find somebody anymore that's really opposed to the Holy Ghost and want to keep God number one in their life and even in this.
You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how little of this kind of preaching you hear in pulpits today.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What's wrong with preachers? Why? You got to preach the whole Bible or you'll answer to God for it. Did you know that?
That's exactly right.
If a man doesn't preach this whole Bible and doesn't preach the total truth, he's going to answer to God. Paul made it plain, preach the word in season, out of season. There's none of it that doesn't get preached. I'm planning to preach in the morning, though Lord willing. In the morning, I'm planning to preach, and I love the thought of it. When God's prophetic plan is in jeopardy. I preached that on Thursday night in Alabama. I worked all day on the sermon. It was a blessing to me. And I want to tell you, there is many efforts right now to put God's plan in jeopardy. And can I tell you, every one of them is going to fail. Because God is going to have his way.
That's exactly right, brother. I agree with you 100%, even though this president? Nation.
The nation, yes.
It's a nation that's turning its way back, God. But I thank God that I'm in that Holy Ghost remnant that God's going to move, and I'm going to be in that.
Yes, sir. You're one of the remnant. And we are just a remnant now. I understand that. But we're going to be faithful. We're going to stand on this word. And I'm preaching to people all over this globe who are part of that remnant. Many, many people in churches. Nowhere in their community is there a church that really preaches the old-fashioned word. But I'm telling you, be faithful. Live in the word. Live by the word. Obey God. Be planted in the house of God. If you have to wear earphones, ear stoppers, be planted in the house of God and live close to him. He's coming soon.
That's exactly right. I thank you so much for those encouraging words.
You're wonderful. Thank you, brother. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I certainly am glad that you're on this subject today. It seemed to be a subject that most of your worldly churches are getting away from. And I got saved in 1983. I was 18 years old. I'm 51 years old now. And by the help of the Lord, I have never polluted the Lord's Day.
That is wonderful. Do you know there's a lot of people like that? And yet, if you don't bring it up, nobody wants to talk about it. But here I am now bringing it up because the Spirit of God poured into my heart that I had to do this program on the Lord's Day. And I've written material. We'll send the article I've got with that CD that we're giving all of our callers today on the sermon, The Laodicean Church Left Behind. But you know what I believe? I believe a person that doesn't keep the Lord's Day cannot go in the rapture.
Well, you know, I think, Brother Chambers, one of the problems is people can't keep the Lord's days because they don't keep preparation day. If they prepare on Saturday for Sunday, we usually try to fill our cars up with gas and stuff just in case.
Yes.
An emergency on Sunday. We prepare our meals on Saturday.
That is beautiful, sir. It used to be that was a natural thing for almost, excuse me, almost everybody. But at our house, I'm telling you, we believe in the Lord's Day. We haven't been out to eat. You know, that's been many, many years ago. A lot of churches dismiss a little early so that their people can beat the Baptists at the restaurants. You know, I've heard that said so many times. Well, we get out a little early because the pastor wants us to be able to beat the other church at the restaurant. And if you say to those people, why aren't you in church? Well, they're going to say, well, I can't be in church because I'm here fixing your dinner for you.
That's right. That's right. And I believe the Lord will honor those who honor his day.
I know he will, brother. He's honored me for so many years, and he's honored you, apparently. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
And God bless you. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I don't know whether you like that or not. We're not condemning nobody. I'm not here trying to come down on anybody. I don't do that. I don't have any desire to do that. I'm here to bring you the Bible, bring you the way of the Lord. Here to tell you that if you want to go in that rapture, you live a life on fire for God. You live by the Bible. The Bible is God's roadmap. The Bible is the manufacturer's handbook. You wouldn't buy a piece of equipment from Sears and Roebuck and then go over to Western Auto to get a book on how to operate that system you bought from Sears and Roebuck, would you? No, you wouldn't. You would want whatever came with that piece of equipment. Well, this came with your equipment, your Bible. your body. When you were born with a roadmap, and it's the Holy Bible. It's the Holy Bible. You don't live it just legalistically, because the Bible won't save you by living it legalistically. You got to be born again. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to have a personal encounter with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Keeping the Bible is only important for those who have been born again. Well, no, it's important for everybody. I changed my mind on that. Keeping the Bible is important for everybody, but it won't save you. The only thing that will save you is the blood, the saving merits of Jesus Christ. I am not a legalist. I simply believe that when he saves you and you become a new creature and you're now washed in the blood and you love the Bible, that you love to live in it because there's a blessing. Have you ever read Psalms Division 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to know what the next verse says? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who? The man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in them day and night. Oh, what a life is awaiting you. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Hey, I got some, about to forget it here, got some emails, but let me give you that local number again, 704-391-0588. Listen to me now very carefully, 704-391-0588, and the toll-free 1-800-338-7884, and email jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Well, I thought that was, here's the Lamentation. Please read Lamentations 4 and 6. Well, let me try that. Lamentations 4 and 6, if I can find it right quick. I don't do this often, but sometimes Lamentations, wait a minute, I'm at the wrong place to find Lamentations. Well, I know where it is. I'm just not thinking. You don't have that problem, do you? Well, when you get my age, you'll start having it, okay? Ezekiel, one is after Jeremiah, I know that. I'm at the wrong place still. Forgive me here. I wasn't prepared for that, but I'm trying to honor a person who wants me to read Lamentations, Division 4 and verse 6. Lamentations 4 and 6. And I'm there, and I'm fixing to read, okay? Lamentations 4 and 6. And it says, "For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown in its moment. In a moment, and no hand stayed on her." Well, that's kind of overwhelming. When you sin against God, he is simply saying the punishment of the iniquity of daughter, this, in this case was talking about Israel, of his daughter, is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't disobey God and live a happy and victorious life. Do you understand that? Very, very important. Now, anybody else out there that has a question, I will do my best. Grab your phone, will you? Can you do that quickly? Grab your phone quickly, or grab your mouse. Your mouse or your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, the summer is in great process. Let's see, we're at all, you know, close to the end of July here in a few days, past the half, then August, and before you know it, we'll be in the summer. Don't let your life get so caught up in this world during this season that so many people vacate. If you go on a vacation, be careful to prepare yourself and plan to be at a good place on the Lord's Day, if you're going to be gone over a weekend, so you can go to the house of God and set that day apart, buy you some food at the grocery store on Saturday and prepare your sandwiches and a great meal in that room. If you go to church, they may invite you to go home with a preacher. We do that here a lot of times. I'm here to tell you, friend, get your life in order and set it apart for God. Are you hearing me? Set it apart for God. And consider, pray about it. Don't just consider it, take it to God and ask him how he would like for you to start treating the Lord's Day. Ask him if you should probably start going back to church on Sunday night. Well, my church don't have it. Well, then you find a good church, full of the Holy Ghost, by the way. We have church every Sunday night, 6 o'clock. I just believe God's people who are truly born again will want to be in church twice every Sunday and Wednesday night. Do you want to know where to find the rapture-ready crowd? Well, go to church on Wednesday night, and you'll find a rapture-ready bunch of people. Go to church on Wednesday night. In my opinion, in most cases, not always, this is not a total situation, but in many cases, you're going to find the rapture-ready crowd in church on Wednesday night, because they love the house of God. They love the kingdom of God. And if you go to church on Sunday morning, and that's all you care about, and then you're out in the world, please take it to prayer. Please get serious about it. Please consider it. I'm not trying to condemn nobody. I'm trying to help you understand how imperative it is. And I'm not getting many calls on this today, but the ones I've got have certainly been wonderful. Wonderful. I mean, really wonderful. I want to hear from you. Grab your phone. 1-800. Grab your phone now. 1-800-338-7884. And then, remember, local number 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, that's I'm not going to give the number anymore now. That's up to you. jrcpaulcreek.org is my email. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I want to tell you something. We are living a very strategic hour. We are right on the verge of the rapture of the church. There is no doubt. There is no question. There's no way anybody can take the Bible and show you that we're not absolutely on the verge of the rapture. Everything imaginable that must be fulfilled is ready. And today, right now, sitting here at this radio mic, right now, in front of this camera, the rapture could take place and would do no violence to the Holy Scripture. Not a bit. And multitudes are going to be crying out the Bible says this, multitudes are going to be crying out, Lord, 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 did we not do this? Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I never knew you is one of the terms he uses. And then there are going to be many that try to get in, and he's going to say, where is your wedding garment? Remember that story? The man who was out in the outer court, ready to come into the wedding, and the Lord says to him, well, how did you get in without your wedding garment? Take him and throw him. Throw him. You know, it's a dangerous thing not to be ready for that rapture. It's a dangerous thing not to be ready for that rapture. I beg of you to get serious. Now, I would like to have some calls about the president and this horrible deal that he is now promoting with Iran. Do you know he's talking about giving them $130 billion of manual money? Who has the right to do that? That really is angering to good, decent people. It really is. Well, let me get this call here. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I'm listening to your radio station. I listen to you all the time and enjoy the service. What I want to do is something on what you were talking about, Obama.
Yes.
It's true. I think that he needs to take care of the people in the United States. Not everywhere else. The rich people here, the homeless and starving themselves, they don't give enough income themselves here or food stamps to make a living. So why is he taking care of another country and worrying about them instead of with his own country?
Well, that is a problem, but I really believe that Obama means to bankrupt America. I don't think there's any doubt of that. We've heard it over and over, and never has one man done so many terrible things. The same-sex marriage is enough to take us to hell, and we are reaping the result of that right now. Do you know what I just learned this week? That the entire orange crop of Florida is in jeopardy. Because a wasp, a strange wasp, has invaded Florida and is stinging the orange trees. And once it stings them, the poison goes down to the root and kills the tree. And they're having to dig them up by the thousands. And they're even saying that the possibility of buying Florida oranges is maybe in jeopardy to be completely lost. Completely lost. Now, why is this happening? It is absolutely the curse of wickedness upon a nation that would promote transvestites and same-sex marriage and killing of unborn children. We are already reaping what Obama and Hillary and those liberals have imposed upon us, and it's going to get worse.
That's what I think. I agree with you.
The Holy Ghost said to me that we're in for a rough ride. We're in for a rough ride, but we're going to have a hallelujah landing. And I believe that's true for God's people. We're in for a rough ride, but we're going to have a hallelujah landing. And you ought to get that prophecy. Would you give the ladies your name and address?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Address I gave it to them.
I love you. I love you. I love you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Shane. You know, talking about keeping the Sabbath day holy. I live in South Carolina.
Well, the Lord will forgive you for that. I'm kidding. Go ahead. That was just fun. I think you're my nephew, aren't you?
Your nephew? No, I wish I was, but I'm
not. You're kidding. Yeah, there's a man that's down there that I love dearly, and your voice sounds just like his, and you've called me several times, and every time I thought you was a man named Harvey.
Yes, yeah, but what I was going to say, I'm South Carolina, and I was born in 48. I can remember in the 50s and 60s that it was against the law in South Carolina to write a check on Sunday.
Oh, come on, you're kidding.
It was. And if a merchant accepted that check, when he went to the bank Monday morning to get it cashed, they would turn it down. They would give it back to him simply because it was dated on Sunday.
I have never heard that in my life, but I can tell you that this is the first generation in church history that has not kept the Lord's Day holy. The first generation, the first church generation. Isn't that sad?
It is. And, you know, I don't hardly know but one thing that you can't buy on Sunday, and that's the love of God.
Thank you, sir. God bless your sweetheart. God bless you. God bless you. Let's go to prayer. Father, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I weep for my nation. Father God, I pray for you to grant the president forgiveness and conviction for the things he's doing. Give him such a conviction that he'll either repent. Oh, God, I'm asking you to stop him, however it pleases you to stop him. I want no man to do damage to that man. But, God, I'm asking you, in the sovereignty of your love for America and the good people who love the Bible in this nation, who love Israel with a deep biblical love for us, God, I'm asking you to stop this man and all of those who would join him in his desecration and his destruction and his absolute anger against the nation of Israel and against the Holy Bible and the people who love the Bible. I'm praying today, God, especially for Obama. And I'm praying especially for you to stop him. God, if you must do what you did to Herod in the book of Acts chapter 10 and allow him to be eaten of worms, God, that's in your hands. I only want your will, what you please to do. But stop him, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind those dark powers that rule in this life, and I believe them broken and put to destruction as the light of God shines. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you believe with me with that prayer? Where two or three agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done. Will you believe with me for that? For God to stop this man? I mean, I'm overwhelmed by what they're doing now concerning Iran. I mean, you're talking about the most wicked nation on the face of God's earth is Iran. Determined to destroy every Jewish person alive. Determined. And they would make them a partner of America. They're not my partner. Oh, I pray for the people there to be saved. I would help any Iranian I could to find the saving merits of Jesus Christ. I would do it in a moment. But I believe God will stop this evil thing. Hey, I want to hear from you, okay? I want to hear from you. You are very important. You are very important. Does it make a difference if you keep Saturday or Sunday? Or seventh are Seventh-day Adventists, abiding by the scripture. The Seventh-day Adventists, and I've known a lot of them and had friends with them, they're actually living under the Old Testament, which is not very satisfying at all. I've never met one of them yet that was a spirit-filled believer that walked in the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's more of a legalistic thing, and I am not for making it a legalistic thing. If you're going to keep the Sabbath day, you do it because you love the Bible, and you love the God of the Bible, and you love the house of God. Seventh-day Adventists, I'm not here to judge them. If they've been born again, they're born again. Any Seventh-day Adventist been washed in the blood and born again and lives in this Bible will be in the same heaven that you and I are. But only Jesus can decide that. I'll have to leave that alone. All right, here's one on the Iran deal. Iran is getting $130 billion of its own assets, not our money. All right, now, that's not what I heard. I hope you're right. Iran is getting $130 billion of its own assets. They already have their own assets. I don't understand that statement. Somebody help me with it. I'll get into that later. But what I read said they were going to get $130 billion of our money. And I think that's right. I think that's right. And I don't know about this person. I don't know about what they're saying. Somebody will have to help me with it, okay? Very important. You'll have to help me now. There is a well-known ministry that teaches that Jesus is our Sabbath. They say that the Sabbath in the Old Testament was a day of rest. It is only one of the Ten Commandments that does not apply to the New Testament church. Now, where do they get that it doesn't apply to the New Testament church? There's not a scripture that says that. They teach that Jesus is our rest and that every day is our Sabbath as we rest in Him. Colossians 2:16. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus is my rest. But I don't take the place of my body needing a seventh day to honor God and to rest. I mean, that don't even make sense. Of course Jesus is our rest. But to teach that He's the rest and that eliminates the fourth commandment, nobody has a right to that. Nobody has a Bible that can say that. You don't do things just because somebody comes up with an idea. You do things because the Bible says do them. You remember what the Bible said in the book of John? John, by the way, this was the John who wrote the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He was the half-son, half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he said, if any man says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And one of the commandments is the fourth one. We know that our Lord's day is not the same as the Old Testament Sabbath because of the restrictions that they had because they could not walk but so far and couldn't even pick up a stick. How do you feel about that teaching? Thanks and God bless you. Well, that's a good question. And I do understand people teach that. I was taught that. But then God showed me it wasn't biblical. That He is my rest, but He's not my day of rest. My Bible says very clearly that a seventh day you were created. Seven is the perfect biblical number. It's God's numerical perfection. Everything in the Bible is built around the idea of seven. So to take the seventh day and eliminate it being a day to set apart for God, that's terrible for you. Your body needs it. Your spirit needs it better than your body. You need to be in God's house. Well, good question. Anyway, I'm glad, sir. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. Please mention the pamphlet you put on the feast of the first, which I think is beautifully explained. Thank you for that. I think that will very enlightening for anyone who receives it. Hey, I didn't read that very good. But I have an article I wrote on the feast of first fruits and the Sabbath day. The feast of first fruits and the Sabbath day. I'll give it to everybody who calls. I will give it to all of those who have already called, so you don't need to call back. If you've called and give us your address, you will get my article on the feast of first fruits and keeping it holy. That is wonderful. I'm glad you called, friend, and email me and ask me to remember that. It's very powerful. The Lord, everything I wait till the Holy Ghost pours it in me. And I stay as true to this Bible as my brain is possible to keep me with the leadership and the protection of the Holy Spirit. I love living a clean and godly life. Are you still there? I'll tell you what, I think I kept that person. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor. I was the one that sent the email about the Iran deal.
Yes.
And it's a very, very bad deal in so many ways. But the $100 billion plus is frozen assets that we have had frozen of their money.
Well, I'm sure they'll get that and more too, okay? But I do not believe that. I believe what I've already read very clearly, that he's promising them $130 billion of our money. But if I'm wrong, I will correct that next week, okay?
Well, I could be wrong just as easily. I mean,
yeah, I understand. We all can be wrong sometimes. Thank you. I love you. You on the air. I'm going to help you, please.
Good afternoon, Brother Chambers. This is Brother Gary from New York.
Hey, Gary.
Praise the Lord, brother. I just got off the phone with your man in the book about the prison ministry. It was a wonderful conversation. I did want to speak about Iran. The fact is correct. Many years ago, we froze their assets and to the tune of $130 billion. That money is unfrozen as a result of this deal.
Okay, that may be true now. I'm not going to deny, but I think there's also $130 billion of our money, but we'll find out whether that's true or not.
It might be through business interests that might invest in Iran, do business with Iran, but it's not that we're going to give them a handout of $130 billion. I don't believe that's correct at all.
Okay, I'm going to accept that, and I will get that clear, and we'll talk about it again next week.
Yeah, the big concern is the four men that were left in Iranian jails.
Yeah, I know.
Including the pastor.
And they didn't even include that in the talks at all.
Exactly. And that's a big concern of Iran is a treacherous dealer. Do you think they're going to honor and be truthful and forthcoming about inspections? I doubt it. Apparently, American inspectors are not allowed in to inspect their nuclear sites.
Anybody who would believe what the Iranian government is telling you needs their head examined.
Yeah, that is true.
You need your head examined. Them people have never told the truth. They don't know what the truth is. Whatever fits their need and satisfies their faith in Allah, their so-called God, that's all they're concerned about.
Right.
Thank you, brother. I love you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello.
Hey, you on the air. May I help you, please?
Is this your reverend?
You got the reverend, yes.
Hello, reverend.
May I help you quickly? I don't have much time.
I am troubled. My youngest son has become a homosexual, and I don't know what to do. What can you tell me?
I can tell you, sir, get on your face with God and plead the blood. You see, he's got a stronghold that's took a hold of his life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and read those verses beginning with verse 3. It makes it plain that you can pull down those strongholds. It's going to take some praying. You may have to spend some nights in prayer. You're going to have to do some fasting and pushing your plate back. But you get a hold of God and don't turn him loose till he delivers your son. That's the only hope you have.
Thank you, Reverend. I'll pray for you.
Okay, I promise I'll be praying with you, dear brother. That breaks my heart, but it's eating this nation up. Do you hear me? It's eating this nation up. You see, if you go to a college and you got a professor that's, you may not even know it, but he's a homosexual or he is pro-homosexual or pro-lesbian, and you sit under that man, the spirit of that man can slowly take grips of your mind until you wind up and become a sodomite yourself. You got to quit hanging around those people, except to witness to them and tell them how wrong they are, tell them what the Bible says, and then go on about your business. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, the deal that you're talking about with Iran.
Yes.
Well, Iran is not going to change their ways. They're selling death to Israel and death to America, and the devil's even got Obama blinded.
Obama? Obama is so blinded, I feel sorry for him.
I do too. And a woman said that Obama was part of God's judgment on America. And I believe that too.
I don't think there's any doubt that all the liberals are God's judgment on America, whether they're in the church or whether they're in the government. We got a world full of liberals, and it's sad what's happening, very sad. And what I said earlier is so important. That whole deal by the president is an interruption interruption, if it was possible, of God's prophetic order, and it cannot stand. It will fall on its face.
Yes.
It will fall on its face, if not before it is put into motion, after it's put into motion. It will fall on its face because it is in the face of God and in the face of the Bible.
Well, like you said, if it's not a part of God's plan, it will not stand.
It can do a lot of damage, though.
Yes, it can.
Can do a lot of damage. Thank you for calling. God bless you now. If you have not called and you would call, I would love it. I want to be a blessing to you. Now, you've got to have this article I made available today. It's a CD. And the name of it is The Laodicean Church Left Behind. The Laodicean Church Left Behind, a CD. And I will also give you that article that was mentioned, very important article that deals with the Feast of First Fruits and the Sabbath day, the keeping of the Sabbath day. Powerful stuff, powerful truth, really it is. Now, what a joy. I mean, this has been a great program. I love the interest on keeping the Sabbath day holy. Our churches could all start having Sunday night church again if people would start keeping the Sabbath day holy. Churches almost everywhere had to call off Sunday night because they were ashamed of the crowd. And I don't blame them. I'm ashamed of mine. I really am. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to bow or bend. I'm going to stay with the book. The King is coming. 24 hours every week belongs to God. Every week, 24 hours belongs to God. And if somebody says, no, Jesus is our rest. Yes, he's our rest. He's our spiritual rest. But we need a physical rest also. And God set this day apart. You can't take away what God has set apart. It is not possible. You won't live with it if you do. Extremely, extremely important. So very, very important. Give me, okay. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It must be raining outside. They want my car keys. Hey, it's been a joy. It's been a joy to bring you this broadcast. I'm here to tell you, the Lord has been near us. Hey, I want you in church tomorrow. The Lord willing, I'm preaching on this sermon. You got to hear this now. I'm preaching on when God's prophetic plan is in jeopardy. That came out of this deal with Iran. When God's prophetic plan is in jeopardy. Tomorrow, I'm preaching that. We're going to put it on DVD and audio. I'll probably be offering it, but I'd rather have you here. Why don't you come tomorrow? It would be a joy to have you. Hey, I need you helping me financially. Summers are tough on me, really. Summers are tough on me. So many of you haven't been sending your gifts. I mean, I can think of some of you I love dearly, hadn't got anything from you in 3 or 4 months. And here we are suffering. I need to hear from you this week. Every one of you, every last one of you needs to help me this week. Will you do so? You can call the ladies and the man right now. You can call them right now, if you please. That would be wonderful. And put a gift on a credit card if you want to. However you want to give it to us. But we need your help. We really need your help. Now, I love you. Our number to call, 1-800-338-7884. Our local number, 704-391-0588. Have you got that? 1-800-391-0588. You are important to us. We love you. We love you dearly. We'll be your friend. We'll do anything we can to bless you. That's how important you are. Chambers. I'm going to make it. How can I help you? What's your first name? Father, I come to you for Jeanette. She needs a miracle, Father, and you are the miracle worker. It is your delight to work miracles and to do those great and wonderful things for us. We trust you.